All right. Beginning with Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And Lord, we love thee today. We thank thee today. We come to thee in awe of thy power and ability, in awe of thy word, in awe of thy spirit, in awe of thy son, and even in awe of thy people. Lord, have mercy on us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was the old, old story. It was redemption by blood. The Lamb is worthy. He opened the book. He loosed the seals as they sang aloud about the redeemed of the Lord. The Lord, the new song and the old story are told again around the throne and told again around the heart. Psalm 107 verse 2 tells us this, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And the enemy is Satan, in whose hand we were till the mighty God snatched us from the jaws of death. Now we are justified, and by faith we sit at the right hand of God, and it's all of Christ. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But how do we acknowledge his work? How do we glorify him? Well, what about this? Hail, mighty Savior, God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords. Hail, mighty Savior, our God is King, and he is good, kind, merciful, and gracious. He is sovereign Lord and eternal judge. Daniel 4:35 tells us, All the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? That's Daniel 4:35. Now, according to our verse, what did he do to earn such exaltation? Well, look at Revelation 5, 9. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's what he did. That's what he did. He is the mighty Savior, and it is the old, old story. It includes the resurrection, for without resurrection there is no redemption. If Christ did not rise, then there is no value in faith. Our faith is vain, empty, if Christ did not rise. But Christ did rise. He came from the grave victoriously and bodily. He ascended into the heavens there to sit on the throne from whence he shall come back as he left, victoriously, bodily. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 tells us, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. People ask me, What's up, Jerry? My answer is that the Lord is up, but I'm waiting on him to come down. And it might be today. It could be today. Listen, he ascended bodily, and he's coming back bodily. He's coming back for the redeemed, and we are the redeemed, and redemption by blood is of infinite value. And my first point is, redemption is expensive. Revelation 5, 9, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Redemption is expensive. It cost us not a penny, but it cost Christ everything. Redemption is Christ's delivering us from punishment by payment, paying the penalty for our sins. Now, listen again. That's the definition of redemption. Redemption is Christ's delivering us from punishment by paying the penalty for our sins. Paying the penalty for our sins is important. We dare not leave or omit payment for sin. Without payment, there's no redemption, and redemption is expensive. It costs the life and the blood of God's own Son. Christ on the cross was in agony. He died there. They put him in the grave. 3 days later, he arose from the dead. Our sin debt, when he did that, our sin debt was marked, paid in full. The price was the blood of the Creator. Listen to me. The Son, that big bright ball way up in the sky, refused to shine because its Creator had died. The death, or the earth, shook and trembled because its Creator had died. And Peter tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, where he says, who his own self, Christ, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. I can't imagine such cost, the pain and the passion. But my inability to imagine that doesn't change the reality. For he paid the price, he endured the pain, because great was his love for you and for me. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, Christ looked down the tunnel of time and saw you and me on our raucous little way to hell. His love was for us was such that he endured the cross, the pain, and the agony, the death, for us. One of the scholars said that God would become man and allow his subjects to kill him, and translate that murder into the gateway to heaven is the most astonishing story ever told. I say it's the most expensive process ever undertaken. God gave his all for you and me, and what have we done for him? Have we given our all to him? For example, if God would have you as a missionary or as a preacher in Knoxville, Tennessee, and like Jeremiah, you had no visible fruit, would you stay on the field? Or is that too much to ask of you? If God would have your child in communist China teaching Bible, what would you say? If God would have you meeting needs right here where you are, would you do it? Would you do it? What about this? If God would have you in Bible school, would you go to Bob Jones University? Have you given your all to Jesus? I can imagine a saint who refuses to read the Bible. That saint hasn't given his all to Jesus. But I can imagine a saint who refuses to read his Bible. I hope I'm not looking at one. I hope I'm not speaking to one. I can even imagine one who refuses to talk to God in prayer. He hasn't given his life to God. I hope I'm not looking at him either. I hope he's not listening to me. If he is, I hope he gets right. Listen, to me, the life we live cost the Almighty mightily. And if heaven could have been bankrupted, it was bankrupted for you and me because redemption is expensive. And my second point is this. Redemption is extensive. The word is extensive. And our verse is the same. Revelation 5, 9. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Look at that. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. There they are. They are the people of redemption. And they're the people all over the world out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Redemption is extensive. It extends across the globe, around the globe, to include all people, potentially all people all over the globe, in all ages. Redemption is extensive. Now, I can't prove it, but I believe that black people were run off of my previous church that I pastored previously. They were run off because they were black.
Not by me.
It's not unheard of. Redemption extends to black people, red people, brown people, white people, pink people, purple people, green people. Redemption extends to people. I made it plain when I came here that if black people were ever run off from this place, I would go too. And here's why I said that. The blood of Jesus Christ, what was it? Was it not red? Was it not life? Was it not salvation? Was it not forgiveness? Did it not cover people in Russia, China, Korea, Afghanistan? What about people in South America, India, Africa, Greenland, Iceland, Antarctica? One reason that redemption is so extensive is that each person on this big blue spaceship comes from Noah's little waterlogged band. And that little band afloat on a worldwide ocean came from Mr. Adam and Miss Eve. And it was Adam's sin that made redemption necessary, and Adam's sin was great. Let me read to you Romans 3, 22 through 24. Romans 3, 22 through 24. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference among all and all of them. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Though it was only a little bite of a piece of fruit, it was disobedience to God, and it was sin. And it was great. It extended literally to all people in every age. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam's sin brought universal malady to this pristine earth, so that God's redemption had to extend to cover potentially every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Listen to me. The nun in her habit, the pope on his throne, the rabbi in his temple, the criminal in his cell, the student in his school, the wife in her home, the baby in her womb, and the preacher in his pulpit are sinners in need of redemption. Sin is a major malady. Sin lets no one off the hook. Sin is universal. Of necessity, therefore, sin must have a potential universal cure. I heard a man say that he applied the blood of Christ to his own heart. I looked at him and had to disagree with him when he said what he said was not so. No man can sprinkle Christ's blood on his own heart. That is impossible. The cleansing power of Christ's blood is universal. Application of that power is left up to sovereignty. Application is particular. And if the Holy Spirit does not apply the blood is not applied. And the soul is not saved, That man can sprinkle blood on his own heart all day long, but it will do no good. God must do it. The church can't, you can't, I can't, but God can. We have an extensive redemption. But redemption is not universal. Application is limited. Elect of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, come to Christ. Now, I don't know who the elect are. So I preach the gospel to every creature and let God determine the rest, because redemption is extensive. Francis of Assisi used to preach to the birds. He said, "My brothers, birds, you should praise your Creator." What do you think they do when they sing? That's what they're doing. Those were his words, but redemption doesn't extend to the animal world. Redemption is extensive, but it's not that extensive. There may be animals in heaven, but they're there in God's sovereignty apart from redemption. Redemption is extensive. Its potential is universal. Its application is particular. Redemption extends to God's elect and to no other. Note, those who Christ came to save is pointed out in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, where the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Redemption is extensive. It extends to God's elect. God's elect will be saved, and I thank God that he is sovereign. I thank God that he came forth from the grave. We celebrate his resurrection each Sunday. Now, I love the old hymn, "When Morning Gilds the Sky." It's a beautiful hymn with beautiful lyrics. I heard a lady play it on the piano. As she played, my eye could see the sun ascend up in the eastern sky. Her talent was not only technical, it was sensitive too. "When morning gilds the skies," Alexander Pope would say, "when morning purples eastern sky." It was at the crack of dawn that our Lord came out of the tomb. The ladies did not see him, so understandably, they were puzzled over the emptiness. But then he revealed himself to Mary and to the others. He rose and redemption was done for all those whom the Father had chosen. Christ prayed for them in the garden, and never did a prayer of his go unanswered. Never. Redemption is extensive. Has redemption extended to you? Has the Spirit of God taken residence in your heart? Are you forgiven? Has the Holy Spirit applied Christ's blood to you? If not, tomorrow may be too late. For behold, now is the day of salvation. I get that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, where the Bible says this, "For he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation, I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, and Proverbs 27, verse 1 tells us this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." This is the accepted time. That was Proverbs 27, 1. This is the accepted time, because tomorrow may be too late. Come to Jesus now. Redemption is expensive. Redemption is extensive. And third, redemption is effective. Note our verse again and remember that redemption is effective. Revelation 5, this time 9 and 10. "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Note that it is he who does the redeeming and not we. We have nothing to do with it, and I'm glad that's so, for were it up to you and me, we'd miss the mark, and redemption would be ineffective. But He redeemed us, and He made us into our God kings and priests. The effect is that we shall reign on the earth. Has it ever occurred to you that our God does as He sets out to do? God's redemption is effective. No man can stop God's redemption. There's an old Negro spiritual with the theme that Jesus rides on a milk-white horse. I love that spiritual. It goes like this. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder thee. No man can hinder thee, King Jesus. Ride on. Listen. Because God's redemption is effective. No man can hinder God's redemption. And we're part of God's plan, and we will reign as kings and priests. Even so, right now, we're nothing more than worms. Winston Churchill claimed to be a glowworm. And I can understand what he's saying there. And some of you are probably glowworms. But in the end, each of us is still a worm. One that Christ redeemed from sin. Isaiah 41:14 says this, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help, I'll redeem thee. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. That's Isaiah 41:14. Isaiah 41:14. God planned to redeem worms, and He did it because we are redeemed. No man and no devil from hell can hinder Christ's work. None. As always, God does as He wills, and it was willed where will and power are one. Redemption is effective, and when the time is right, Christ will take us home. For we are redeemed. Redemption is effective, and God is effective in all that He does and all that He plans. So far, we have redemption, expensive, extensive, and effective, and finally, eternal. Redemption is eternal. Revelation 5:9-10. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we will be kings and priests to Him as long as He lives. And during that time, during part of that time, we will reign on the earth. Our redemption is eternal. This time I'm going to read Revelation 5:11-14. Revelation 5:11-14. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. We will be with the Lord forever and ever. Dear people, that is eternity. Redemption is eternal. What God has done is never undone. Sin can never snatch defeat from victory. We have life forever. Now, the only difference between a lost person and us is that we have Christ. He doesn't. He doesn't. I hope you don't get tired of my saying, repeating this verse. It's Bible, and I love it, and you're going to hear it from me again and again. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:12. Now, if you have life with the Son of God, you will never die, because redemption is eternal, and the risen God is eternal. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the panacea of all that is wrong. He's the answer to every question, in other words. He is God, and there's none like him. He's Jesus Christ, and he came from the grave in victory over sin and death. Praise God for the goodness of redemption. I can think of no better thing than to have us have part in his redemption. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says this. Romans 8. 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to him, to them which are in Christ Jesus, for the law of sin, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you get that last part? This is redemption defined, or biblically defined. Redemption biblically defined. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Regarding Jesus Christ now, 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In other words, Christ is redemption, and we belong to him. 1 Corinthians 15:22 tells us this, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We are redeemed, folks. We have true life because we are in Christ, and only because we're in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Certainly, redemption is a spiritual blessing. Praise God for redemption. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 5 through 5, 6, and 7. Even when we were dead in sin, Christ hath quickened us together, or he hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Through Christ, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace to us throughout eternity. He lives today, and we have part in his redemption through his resurrection. There he sits in heaven, and there we are in his heart of love right now. He carries us there. He supports us. He undergirds us. He keeps us. He is the mighty God. And he's merciful, kind, and loving. Ours is a common redemption made uncommon by resurrection. For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. God is good. God is great, and God, we come to thee today, thanking thee for thy word. We ask that thou, God, wouldst use it in our lives, that we might somehow, in thy grace and power, glorify thee this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.